Welcome on in. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is the Leaf Edition. We are on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. Sammy McKee, Justin Bourne, Nick Kiprios, Derek Brandale, and let's welcome in Frank the Tank Baraska.
Welcome, Frankie!
Frankie!
Round of applause for the fellas, okay.
No. Is he running naked right now upstairs?
Seems unlikely, but possible.
Is that not Frank the Tank from Will?
Yeah.
Will Ferrell?
We're going streaking.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're going streaking. All right, boys. What do you think tonight? Back to back, they get the Dallas Stars, the Toronto Maple Leafs last night. 2-1 winners over the Buffalo Sabres, where they needed a very strong performance out of Jake Oettinger, who will not be in net tonight.
Yeah. Leafs get Scott Wedgwood for the second time, right? The last two games?
Yeah, they played him in I think it was like the sixth or seventh game of the season. They played the Stars in Dallas, and they had Wedgwood that night too. Can I do some Leafs fan
takes off the top?
Trust tree with you guys?
But it's your show, basically.
No, I want to ask your opinions on it, because I know both you guys were up late watching
Edmonton
and Vegas.
I did, yeah.
And my dad and I used to have this conversation all the time that when the Leafs were bad through the 2010s, you'd watch the crappy Leafs play, and then you'd watch any other elite team in the league play, and you would say, that's a different sport. That's a different league they're playing in. And that went away during the regular season. That's gone away for the last 4 or 5 years, where the Leafs have been a really elite regular season team. For the first time in a long time after watching that game last night, I'm like, That's a different class. That's a different league.
Wow.
Feel like it's back.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, the Leafs are still good. They're not the 2010 Leafs. Don't get me wrong here. But just the attention to detail on both of those teams, the defensive work, hard on pucks, the lack of mistakes.
Yeah, like, I can't disagree one second. And I watched the same thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't see too many glaring mistakes off each side. Edmonton and Vegas, like, good discipline, no odd man rushes, no glaring errors, just hard forecheck, hard back check, back pressure. It had a huge playoff feel.
You know, I think there's something with when you're a really successful team and you're really confident in the process. Like, obviously the Oilers would be through 16 straight wins. You know, Vegas is the defending cup champions, where nothing happening is okay. You don't feel the need to force something. You're just content to be in the game and wait for your opportunities to come.
Okay.
And I feel like this is a Leafs team that when it's not coming, it starts to get desperate and force it in chances and stretch and whatever, you know, force the puck into the middle, where there's not that sort of like contented to just play. Just stay in it, stay in the game and wait for that door to open.
But like, I think the Leafs have been a really good regular season team for the last 4 or 5 years.
For sure, and they're still a really good team, right?
No, they're not. Yeah, they're not a good regular season team anymore, and the stats will tell you that.
But I'm
the
saying numbers will last tell you night, that. The two teams we watched
are elite.
Are the best two teams in the West, maybe Colorado.
But in years past, you'd go into those games with the Leafs thinking you have a chance to compete. Right? Mm. And the Leafs went to Edmonton, and they were in the midst of that winning streak, and they were in that game. They ended up losing. They blew it late. I just don't think the Leafs are walking into Vegas tomorrow night, and they're going to be able to play the game that they played. Like, it's just the defensive work. It's just there's no mistake. Anyways, their only mistake was a 2-on-0 off of a shorthanded goal, and they didn't give up any other mistakes. Anyways, we don't have to talk. It's not that we can talk about more than Ash Lauer.
No, it's a fair. I mean, I've been saying I had the Leafs. I think I said about a month ago between 6th and 11th best in the league, and it's tough to not sit here today feeling like they're closer to 11th than 6th.
I think the most glaring statistic or support to Sammy's case for what he saw last night compared to what we've seen from the Leafs is just 60 minutes of hockey, regulation wins. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible that Vancouver is sitting with 31 at this point. And they are ahead by a country mile.
How many of the Leafs at, Kip, did you just say?
Oh, you don't want to know, Sammy. I don't want to get the show off to a bad start.
Tell me. Because I haven't kept track after that was like a big talking point for a long time.
They're at 16.
16.
Versus 31 for Vancouver.
For Vancouver.
Yeah.
And as bad as the Edmonton Oilers' start was, they've found a way to get in 24.
Wow.
Vegas at 23 after last night's 3-1 victory.
Yep.
And I think there's all but 8 teams. If I'm not mistaken, the Leafs, I think, sit 24th in the league at 16 regulation wins in 48 games. 16, Justin.
It's not good.
Can we, but.
That's a third of your games you're getting a regulation win. Just to further that point, the teams behind them, I don't think there's a playoff team in the bunch unless you think the Islanders get in, maybe Washington.
The Islanders, with their win the other night against the Leafs, are now at 15.
Yeah,
so
it's Minnesota, Montreal, Anaheim, Columbus, San Jose, Chicago.
That's bad company.
It is.
It's bad company. I guess it kind of just takes away from the devil's advocate I was going to play. But
which one?
That just, you know, they did win the games, and they're in these close games. Like, it's not like they're getting, you know, they could have a lot of regulation.
That's been the defense. They haven't lost in regulation either.
That's what I mean. They could have a lot of regulation losses and be completely out of the playoff picture. I'm just, you know, there is another side to that.
Yeah, no.
For sure.
I get it. It's not that they're getting blown out. No, they're not, you're not staring at a lottery pick.
Actually, only four teams have fewer regulation losses.
Mm.
Only Dallas, Winnipeg, Vancouver, and Boston.
So there you go.
Regulation losses. So,
yeah.
You know, that's about what we think they are, right? They're not bad. They're not great. They're in the mix. I was telling Sam before the show, they're the perfect team to talk about. Elite talent, expectations, underachieving. There's so much here for them. And they just, we got to find what it is that they're missing.
I think we're heading into now where it's, you know, we're getting close to trade deadline. And we're heading into this next sort of like portion of the season where it's like the start of the season, then it's pre-All-Star break, then post-All-Star break, you get into
the playoff push.
This part.
Yeah.
And then it's like after the trade deadline, you have your team, you make your final push for the playoff or whatever. But now that we're in the sort of trade deadline portion of the season, it's like, Brad, just be careful with that first. Just be careful with that first round pick.
They're in the first wild card spot right now with 58 points in 48 games. You know, on their heels there is the Islanders and Penguins.
Oh,
this is actually super helpful. If you're watching on television right there, you can see, you know, they got games on Tampa and Florida and Boston, right? So you got a couple of cracks to get back up into that pile, but it's tight.
Yeah.
And I do think that the Flyers are going to drop out of there yet, but boy, I think the Penguins are going to climb.
Yeah, I think I see the Penguins. As much as we can sit here and say,
and I think the Islanders will be decent too.
Oldest team in the league and not much upside. There still should be enough for Pittsburgh to get in there.
I think so too. And I think with Patty Waugh and the Islanders and the push they're going to make, I don't think Lou's going to sell at the deadline. I think they'll get better too.
So what we're saying here is for the first time in a while, the Leaf fans are living through a playoff push here. Like, you are not in the clear.
But it could go the other way. They win a few games. Can they be second there in the division?
You're safe to say that today. And to Justin's point, you hope that they can, if they get a little streaky here, they can get themselves back into a little bit of a comfort zone.
We were having a talk about this before, and we were talking about first round of the playoffs and how it doesn't, you know, this team lacking this or that. But I tell you what, a lot of things can happen. And one of them is you add a couple of pieces at the deadline. If you end up in a wild card spot and you draw the Rangers or Carolina or something, you're playing out of the Metro, it's a totally different season. Like, there's still, the point I think we're all making is that they need help, but there's a lot of opportunity out here.
Listen, I think the big point is we have no clue what's going to happen.
But neither does Sheldon. Neither does Brendan. Neither does Brad. Like, this team, everyone's going, I don't know, we're okay.
Well,
hope. That's all you're giving me right now. Is just hope.
It's the hope that kills
Leaf
you.
Leaf fans have never tried the underdog thing in a regular season. And maybe
Not since they played Washington.
There might be that feeling now that they've got everything to gain and nothing to lose if they continue on this trajectory.
Nothing to lose, pal.
I'm talking about the Leaf fan and expectations. Oh, okay. I'm not talking about jobs. Okay. I'm not talking about bodies moving.
But this,
I'm talking about the Leaf fan expectation.
Right. Kipper, this team misses the playoffs. I mean, I heard you're talking about the team expanding. This team may just move to Markham if they miss the playoffs.
They got a whole different thing.
Well, here's the really good news. And just a quick note, we're going to have Marty Turco, former NHL, great goaltender for the Dallas Stars. He's going to join us in about 25 minutes. But the Leafs kind of own Dallas the last little while here. 5-0 and have pretty much dominated them, Sammy.
Yeah.
In the last little while.
Goals 19-6 in the last five games against them. Humming along.
One of the last five games against them was with Matthews scored his Leaf record.
Oh, yeah.
55 was the record, right? I think he scored it in Dallas.
Yeah.
Maybe in overtime, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways. Yeah. So there you go.
So a little bit of data or some stats for you guys. The Stars are first in the NHL with a 15-5-4 road record. Mm. They're 4-0-2 on back-to-backs. This is a road game on a back-to-back. Don't expect you're getting a depleted Dallas Stars team.
Yeah, I picked them to win the cup before the season started.
I've heard worse picks.
And I'm not feeling great about it right now.
You know what I do want to go back in time? Is remember when the Oilers were like 5-13? And everyone was tweeting about Sportsnet's analysts being a bunch of idiots. Do you guys remember that? Oh, yeah, half your...
They weren't talking to me, though.
Buddy, I was the one on the air every day being like, there's 10 people around here that picked them to win the cup.
Yeah. Where are those 10 people? Stand up. The 10 people who picked them, stand up. Yeah. Get in your mentions right now and send some likes, some messages from November.
They win 16 in a row. You don't mention that. They lose, and now you're mentioning that. You could have worse timing.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. But listen, they're still looking pretty good. Mark Spector has an article on Sportsnet today about how this is still the best they've looked, even in a while.
Easily could have won that game last night. Aiden Hill made a couple really great saves. Anyways.
Okay. Let's go to our first Sheldon Keefe, Kipper's Clipper, on maybe some of the issues still plaguing the Toronto Maple Leafs, including a little lack of scoring.
Show them the opportunities they're getting and the chances that are there. And you just got to stay with it. You know, there's nothing else you can do. I do think we've had a number of chances. We've had no issues generating scoring chances. That's, for it to go over the line is you just got to be persistent, stay with it. Shoot the puck, be assertive. Guys away from the puck, disrupt the goaltenders, all those kind of things. That's really all you could do. And then at the same time, recognize that while you're going through that, you got to give up less if you want to win games. So like that's the balance that you've got to strike there. But generating the scoring chances has not been a problem for us. So we just got to stay with it.
Jonas Siegel has an interesting article on The Athletic today about top four scoring by team and what percentage of their team scoring total. The Leafs are number one, as you would expect. Their top four guys have 60% of their goals this season. Florida's second with 56. Good teams tend to be up there, right? Yeah. You have some elite talent, but the Leafs are far and away the most top-heavy.
But we mentioned it yesterday about, like, I don't see the other guys getting good chances. I see the top four guys getting good chances. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, Nyes hasn't got a shot, and, you know, all that stuff you laid out there, and Bertuzzi's lack of shooting and Domi's lack of shooting. Like, I don't necessarily agree with him that he's like, look at all these chances you're getting.
Yeah.
I watched the games too.
Yeah, majority of them are coming from that 60%.
Yes.
For sure they are. That's a really good point. Like, I know Bertuzzi had the goal called back and he's had a couple. Bertuzzi's the only guy I can be like, he's due for a couple.
My God. He's been we're talking about it's been pucks unusual. on a goal line where he just needs to go.
I know that was the one he's swinging away.
Just blow harder,
Bertuzzi.
Blow harder. Push it over the line. I've never seen a guy so close and not be able to push it over the goal line.
He's beat it to a square a few times in front of the net this year. He really has.
Here's to hoping he has that Boston first round in him where, you know, he's just around the crease and pucks find him because, boy, he's built up some luck. He's owed a little bit of karma here.
Yeah.
I think and we didn't touch on this really yesterday's show, but Tavares comes off of a nice break, 5-6 days, probably chasing his kids around. I don't think he ended up at the beach anywhere, but nice to get away from the game. Did you see enough out of Monday night to think that this guy can kind of come back a little bit here, or is there still going to be some concerns here moving forward on JT?
Well, it's a yes, but he's not going to get that break before playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, this is, I can, when he's rested, every game he comes back, he looks great. I thought he looked really good the other night, and he scores and he's involved in the play. I think he had an assist as well, right? Like, he looked good. But it's going to happen again.
Is Sheldon, we've said many times, you probably know him a little better than us. Is he the type of guy that can look at the standings and see them in a wild card, and yet maybe 3 weeks from now or a month from now, he'll give them a night off? Or he'll be like, no, screw it. You make $11 million. I need you on a second line. I need you on a power play. I need you to produce.
Well, there's just never a night, Kip, where they're going to be like, these points don't matter. You know, or like, yeah, you know, we'll just kind of throw our hat in the ring and see what happens tonight. Like, it's, you know, Sheldon from watching him for years here. He tries to win every hockey game at the cost of accountability for whatever for the year. He will try to win tonight.
Do you really believe that Tavares is away from the rink for the whole, like, I feel like
he wasn't playing a hockey game
over under days at the rink for him during the All-Star break. I'll set it at 3.5.
Yeah, so he's always like Vijay Singh. You're like, get off the range.
He's probably taking ice baths, crushing kale smoothies. He's probably there the whole time.
Well, that's even nice. Said that living with him, like, yeah, it's a
whatever
focus.
Works. Right at the end of the day for you, like, you know your body and your mind better than anybody, but like, is this just father time catching up to him a little bit? Because I think there are times when we can still watch him and the foot speed's not there. My biggest concern still, even after his goal and an assist Monday night, is 5-on-5, guys.
Yeah.
You didn't have a point 5-on-5 on Monday night. It was a 4-on-4, which maybe gives him a little bit more room, and then the power play goal. I can't tell you the last time he scored an even strength or 5-on-5 goal. I think it was early December. I don't know if you have anywhere you can.
Yeah, I know it's 20, 30 games. It's a long time.
No, it's really concerning.
Yeah.
And can he play and be successful 5-on-5? Because that's how you win rounds in the playoffs.
I'm a big fan of the expression, everything's a nail to a hammer. And I feel like for Tavares, you know, you said he knows his body, he knows whatever. And it's like, but a guy like him who just works hard and commits to his craft, he doesn't know how to relax, right? Like, it just looks like maybe if I just like work harder. And sometimes that's not the answer for a guy like him. So they may have to sit him down for a couple nights and say, I know you want to be out there and doing your thing, but because they obviously, given the top four scoring we talked about, you require that. They've had no injuries out of their top four guys and still are struggling.
Like, would it be December 11th versus the Islanders? Is that possible?
Very, yes. Very possible.
Yeah.
That's, when he scored 1,000th point?
That's closing like in on 2 months.
Yeah. That's a long time ago, boys.
Yeah, it's a long time.
No, I lied to you. Columbus, the 23rd.
23rd?
Yeah, of December.
Of what?
Yeah. The 23rd of December.
Of what? What are you marking? Even strength or 5-on-5?
Oh, just even strength.
Yeah. Well, see, to me,
or five, yeah,
five on five is different than 4-on-4.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, no,
it's a long stretch.
I still feel like
he did have some good looks five on five Monday night. He did. He had one on the in the slot.
Yeah,
And Sorokin made a great leg save on him.
His like expected goals are always through the roof. He gets a lot of looks and they're not going in. I'm not as worried about him as I think maybe you are. Like, I think he's still going to be able to produce for them. It's definitely a concern that his numbers are declining like they are, but I still feel like he's got enough juice. He gets some pucks around the crease. He could score some goals for him, but obviously they need him too. So
yeah, but you can't, you absolutely can't. Like, sit him. You can't be like, we got to dial you back.
No.
They need everything.
Well,
they
right now.
They can't get a goal.
Once they get Kelly Yarncroke back.
Well, I guess. Isn't he their best non-four guy scorer? But like,
got 10 goals.
They need to bleed everything they can at a Tavares.
Flex seal.
Regardless of.
New flex seal.
Yeah. regardless of how much of a stone it might be, you have to.
I believe they play Arizona 3 times in the next month. So we're going to see a lot of Flex Seal.
No way they play them 3 times.
Maybe in the month of March. I mean, it's, they play 3 times in like a couple weeks.
Huh.
Yeah.
Stop leaks, fan.
So are we like, are we still too early to call this now a stretch drive, Sammy? Or is this what you kind of have us looking at? I know Sheldon Keefe's going to talk a little bit about moving forward, but... is this, do you consider this a stretch drive right now?
For sure. It's after the All-Star break.
30 games?
30 games.
Like a sprint?
But I agree with Sam that it's like compartment, or like, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. But it's just a, yeah, it's a chunk of games up to the All-Star game. Like, yeah. This is not the playoff push. This is a what do we need assessment period. You try to stack up points, but you're also going, God, can we live with this guy? Can Liljegren handle it? Can we get more out of Domi? Can we, yeah.
Okay, let's go to Sheldon Keefe and his thoughts on this stretch drive.
What he's looking for in the stretch drive there?
Consistency. You know, that's been the name of the game for us. Like we've, whether it's, you look at the season as a whole, we've been all inconsistent with our play and then even within games. You know, we, like I said the other night, we play well enough to win, and playing well enough to win to me is doing a lot of good things. Otherwise, you're not even in the game. You know, you're chasing the game and you're, you know, you're letting the opposition pull away from you. We've been good in games, and then, you know, we let it get away on us. Like, it's just consistent, doing consistently. That's the difference between the top teams, the elite teams, and everybody else in the league is consistency. So that's really what we're seeking.
So that, to me, is the biggest problem with this team.
The bonehead moments?
There's just the lack of consistency. And with the other teams in years past, with what they did in the bottom six, with more defensive, and they're just more consistent down there, and you knew what you're going to get on a night-to-night basis. If it wasn't as much scoring, mm-hmm. at least they weren't getting caved in, making dumb mistakes.
You felt better with, like, Kasha and Lafferty and Achari. And,
I guess, yeah. You know, I did.
Some of those guys.
Zach Aston Reese.
I got to tell you, you know, you talked about consistency. Like, we've played well enough to win. We've just kind of had these moments sort of thing. It kind of reminds me of the, like, the Galchenyuk turnover in the playoffs or the tournament, you know, where it's like, you just, I said this yesterday, where they just have these moments, and cleaning that up is something I don't know if you can coach. I don't think you can coach it out of guys. I don't.
No.
Which is a major concern.
I don't know what the answer is.
You tell Liljegren to bank it off the glass every time? It's not fun.
I get the honeymoon of a Patrick Waugh, but those guys are right now, the Islander team that I saw beat the Leafs mm-hmm. are kind of on their best behavior.
Yeah.
And how long he continues to kind of squeeze out their best behavior, 2 weeks, a month,
you think they're
the rest
fall
of the
off
season.
Again?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But all I know is there's some coaches that find a way to never let you relax. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's Sheldon, would a hard ass make you more aware of making simpler plays, safer plays? Would you be a lot more scared if you had a different coach out there to make a mistake or relax? Like I've had different type of coaches. I can tell you, Keenan scared the snot out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew if I had one bad moment, I'm either benched or in the press box. I'm a healthy scratch the next day. Play the percentages. Do not gamble. Do not. Like, is this Sheldon needing to find a way to squeeze more safety or urgency or more attention to detail out of these guys? Or is it just on the individual?
You can't. You can't.
No, I think you can.
No, he can't. He's tried to be captain accountability this year. So first off, I think it's too late to change coaches. Do you agree with that, or do you think? I mean, we're
at, listen. I don't think there's.
We're after the All-Star game. There's 2 months of the season.
I don't know.
Left.
Did Lou Lamoriello fire somebody a week before and win the Stanley Cup?
And went on the bench, didn't he? Didn't he fire somebody?
Larry Robinson on the bench. I think.
Yeah, but no. He's put himself
on it twice.
Yeah, he's done it twice. Yeah.
I don't believe for one second that it's ever too late if you get the response that you hope for.
Okay. Well, it's getting late. Yeah. It's getting late. If it happened now, it would be a late coach firing
it would be,
for
it would
a team
be,
that's in the playoffs.
It would
be very unfair.
But listen, L.A. did it.
Yeah.
Todd McClellan's gone. Might I add that we were talking about Todd McClellan 8-10 weeks ago as the coach of the year. This guy couldn't do anything wrong. Yeah. He gets them off to the greatest start in road trip history. And now he's out of a job.
Yeah. So my point there is just that Keith can't. So assuming my point was going to be assuming they're keeping him because there's it would be so uncommon.
I'm with you. Right? I don't expect them to make a change. Right. I don't.
Assuming they keep him, we've already seen the attempts at being the accountability coach with, you know, they scratch Kampf was at the one game and they, you know, a few examples of him trying to be the accountability
bench the guys for the power plays.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just you can't. People know who you are. Players know who you are. It's authentic or it's not authentic, but you
But he's going to have to find a way to get these guys more consistent, though, down this stretch.
Yeah, I agree.
I just, if, what do you do next if the accountability doesn't seem to be seeping
in? But aren't we also just talking about the four guys who have 60% of their goals right now? Like, to me, hearing you, you're not talking about getting more accountability out of Domi.
Oh, listen.
Or getting more out of accountability out of
He has Cam. To find a way to squeeze more out of those guys, too.
Yeah. But, so it's across the board for you?
I get that for sure.
Okay.
I think his inconsistencies and up and down has probably saved him this season in a weird way. Like, because you have that one long where the Kings were red hot.
Mm-hmm.
They were unbelievable. And you're like, you got up to that standard.
Expectations.
And everyone's like, wow, this team's elite. And then they go on a long losing streak and then they can't win anymore. And it's like, well, you're gone. With Keith, it's like, well, we're kind of good. Oh, we're bad. We're kind of good. We're bad. It's
like, right. There's no point where you're like, this is a great
team.
That's
exactly it. So I don't know. I don't think they're going to change, coach.
I mean, expectations are.
You know, the one thing even for John Tavares is like, he did get benched, right? Although the points haven't been flying by, he has. You can see that his attention to detail has gotten a little better. I don't think he's throwing as many pucks away.
No, he's becoming, not like Jason Spezza did with the Leafs, but you can see a more veteran type of style of play out of him for sure. But people expect more at 11 million bucks. That's right, yeah. Right? We're not looking for good puck management but for 11.
They've got an issue with Liljegren right now. And how does, again, Sheldon get him to the place where they think he should be, and that's a legit top four guy making good, sound decisions.
Is there any chance they would trade players who are good players in hopes of just becoming a different-looking team? As in, you know, Liljegren, but you're still getting a current player back, or even bigger names from getting a current player back.
See, that
a trade
to me,
for hockey's sake.
The tendency now is, because over the years we've built up this trade deadline, is the focus is on UFAs. I'm with you. Go find RFAs.
Yeah.
Go do a real hockey trade that changes the makeup of this team without borrowing a rental.
Right.
Right? Go, like, there's no Cliff Fletcher trades for Doug Gilmore and how many guys were involved
in
that one?
A lot of humans.
But that's almost what the Leafs need right now.
Yeah.
They need a 3 or 4 out and 3 or 4 in.
And you know why? Because you know what you have out of the top, and it's a special group of guys. And so if this isn't working below it, I'm with you. Can we just
names that we were not talking about. It's not Hanifin and Chychrun and
no, it's Brandon Hagel.
It's exactly Hagel.
You know, it's
something 24, 25.
Yeah.
And if it does cost you a first rounder, you know, whatever's coming back is going to stick around for the next 3 or 4 years.
But how many times can we do this?
And that they need to be different?
Why don't we change out the bottom six again? It's like,
this is the seventh
version of the bottom six.
Hey, that's what happens when you haven't won in 56 years.
Team A, Team B. It's like, it's just a new Team B coming on in. Yeah. Bring on Team B again. Yeah.
But what
not
choice?
Not allowed to address Team A.
Unless you think.
Don't look at him in the eye.
No, he'll turn into stone.
Unless you think that the hope is that these guys will turn it around. And Sammy.
Maybe this time.
Surely this time will be different. we should go.
All right. Don't call me Shirley. All right. When we return, we're going to bring in Marty Turco. Turco, former NHLer, almost 300 wins in his career, 275. And now special assistant to the president of the Dallas Stars. Up next, on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Okay, let's bring him in. One of the best goaltenders in Dallas Stars history, Marty Turco. 275 wins. Three-time NHL All-Star. And the king of the charcuterie board. Marty Turco. You want to talk meat? You want to talk cheeses? Hang with this guy. What's going on, Turk? What do you got hilarious. For me? A little salami?
Maybe a little prosciutto, some supersata, you know. I've been on the spec lately, a little bit, you know, a little harder, a little saltier. Nice.
I love that. Where were we when you brought this thing out? I'm like, I love you.
Jesus. Where were we? Were we in Blue Mountain?
I don't know.
That was a long time.
I don't know. But do you have like one in your trunk just for like in case of emergency?
Hey, I travel well. You know the deal.
I know you do, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
We're good. We're good. So I don't know. Tell us a little bit about the Dallas Stars. I did pick them to win the Stanley Cup when they asked me back in September. I don't mind my pick, but I think I need more right now. What are your overall thoughts on the season?
All right. Here's your condensed confidence booster for yourself. I mean, risque pick at the start of the year in this Central Division, Western Conference, I mean, 32-team league, you know. We got to go through at the minimum, you know, Vegas, Colorado, who knew about Winnipeg, who knew about Vancouver. Love seeing the Canadian teams rocking and rolling, but and a few more obstacles probably along the way, never mind the finals if we ever get there. Okay, saying that. I mean, do we have to go 12 hours ago or
well, 18 hours ago? Odinger was 12 hours ago.
Yeah, 12 hours ago, right? So our goalie hasn't had the year, I mean, collectively that he wants, but he's got pedigree. And listen to Razor last night. Yeah, their art form has been there, but sometimes not, but the pedigree's there. And, you know, he's a true number one. He's still a young guy. He's already had playoff experience. So, you know, that's kind of the linchpin, which we believe in. Forwards have never been deeper, to be honest. And, you know, we thought that maybe going in, question mark being Duchesne, turns out he might be our MVP. To be honest, every place he's on, power play, line he's kicking on, you name it, it just rolls. His energy is just contagious. He gives it to gives me the energy too. So he's playing fantastic. All lines. I mean, even look down at the bottom. You know, our guys from Delandria, Steele, and Smith, and Fox. These guys, you kind of get forgot about around here, but they're just a formidable fourth line. And we have three other good lines that are just rolling. So the emergence of Thomas Hartley, I think this is kind of the one quiet piece that is really going to make the biggest difference for us in the back end. If we stay status quo through the trade deadline, I think he'll be the biggest reason we have any success in the playoffs. You just need, you know, your back end to put up numbers, but put up quality minutes, as you know. And so we just like it. I like the way our team, you know, the belief is. And you wait a guy like Wedgie carry the load for a while when Jake was hurt and maybe not playing his best. But, you know, if things get going, all things are equal, we got as good a chance as anybody popping in goals as we tighten up things down the road for defensively, get our goalie rocking and rolling. You know, you might look like a smart guy once all said that.
All right.
Well, you know, that's a fun thing when a team comes to town is giving the fans some players to watch. And the Thomas Hartley thing is fascinating to me. I think in goals among defensemen, he's in the mix there with Makar and Dahlin, Hughes and Uyghur, 12 goals. You know, were you guys surprised that he's been this effective this year? Well, what kind of D-man is this guy? All offensive? I haven't watched him all that closely.
Yeah, that's I'm glad you asked. At one point, he was tied for the league in goals for defensemen. Doesn't need a lot of power play minutes. you know, does eat some ice time just because, you know, it's probably our least depth position, but it's still great. It's still good. So he's a great skating defenseman, big body. Our expectations, probably internally, and at least for myself, I was like, yeah, this kid has it. From the time he went down the minors, matured, understood, and worked on his overall game, and to come up here. And we knew offensively, it's kind of the thing with young defensemen, right? They offense usually isn't the issue. You just got to learn the nuances of the league, how to play it, how to play positionally, work on your strength as a young guy. And he fits that mold. He's got tremendous upside and has opportunity to play in this league a long time. So a real smooth skating guy, puck moving I think he plays a little bit of a chip on his shoulder in terms of just competitiveness. And, you know, that's what you need. You need for guys who are going to be all-stars in this league. And that's the trajectory that he's on. And it's really bode well for us. And part of the reason why we put up our offensive numbers, because you get that offense a lot of times from your back end, from the guys moving the puck. So he's been a really, you know, bright spot for us this year. And like I said, come playoff time, it's somebody like that that's just going to push you over the edge when you win a 6-7 game series or not.
We're talking a 3-time NHL All-Star and now special assistant to the president of the Dallas Stars, Marty Turco. So you mentioned the position of defense being the least in depth. Harley, Miro Heiskanen, and Lindell to me stand out, but does it drop off a little bit here? I know Ryan Suter's still there, probably playing a similar role to Mark Giordano here for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but a guy that you really got to watch the minutes and the wear and tear, Marty.
Yeah, I mean, wear and tear. He's the consummate pro. Him and Joe Pavelski, I mean, these guys have played, I mean, more games than you and I probably just playing shinny hockey. You know, these guys have just been stalwarts out there. But, I mean, there's a drop-off just because, you know, Merrill's all world. S is, you know, going to – he plays Team Finland, you know, Olympics to play in the 4-team deal next year. He's just that kind of player. Eats minutes, definitely on the defensive side, block shots, penalty killer, just a sublime competitor. And then Harley. But, I mean, other guys are great. They're good NHLers. It's just it only is a drop because the other guys are just that good. And this league is that tough on a nightly basis. And when you play against teams like ours that throw out, you know, three just wildly offensive lines that, you know, you're going to need your third, fourth, fifth, sixth defenseman to play effective minutes. And so we've had that this year. Our game has been overall a little bit loose. Our goals against has reflected that. But we expect that to tighten up here. You know, we're more than capable. These guys are all NHL defensemen, but I mean, it's the only reason why, just because our top end three guys are just that good. And then you expect a little bit more of the other guys.
So as special assistant to the president, will you recommend a trade for a blue liner? There's a lot of teams looking to add depth on that blue line. Can we assume that Dallas would be in the mix on needing a Chris Tanev type of player, maybe?
My recommendations usually go to what bar we're going to next. And if you're hungry, I got the charcuterie board. You know, pickles, nice. Don't forget the pickles and the, you know, and the olives and, you know, the stuff that needs to complete the deal. I just know where my, you know, where it ends for me. But I mean, I mean, Jim Neal and company, I've been around the block a few times. And our owner, Tom Gallardi, man, he wants to win like no other. And so I think that assumption is probably pretty good.
Okay.
And it'd be, I mean, they always are, even though we probably, you know, don't make as many moves as maybe our fan base would like sometimes. We make a lot of great moves that have panned out in recent years, had a great run last year in the playoffs. So our crew knows what they're doing. And everybody's always looking. I mean, that just kind of goes without saying, but you know, I'm sure we see what the market's out there like, but there's so many teams in the mix and there's only so many defensemen that are available and salary cap and all that stuff. Such a major issue in doing deals. You know, it's probably hard to do, but our team is, you know, our hockey ops is fantastic. And we've had a really good run of going to the Cup Finals a few years ago, Western Conference Finals last year, and always being in the playoff mix. And so, whatever they do, I'm sure it'll be a good move. And, you know, 32 teams getting after it's a hard one to win. But like I said, like our chances just as much as anybody, even though we haven't won 16 in a row like that team out west.
But you guys are a really curious mix of talents. Just looking at that group of forwards, the one thing I am I'd like to hear more about is the surprise that has been Matt Duchene. You mentioned that he has come from, like, what are we going to get out of this guy to nearly MVP status. I guess how surprising and a positive a development has that been?
Well, it's just surprising because he got bought out, right? And, you know, we got him for, you know, really favorable price tag for our salary cap. So when you just look at it in a linear perspective, yeah, it is surprising. If you take his body of work as a whole, and I mean, his eagerness, his drive this year, his competitiveness, his everyday ability to bring it and bring the fire. That's not, I mean, now getting to see him from day one till, you know, just the last night, he's his skills there. I mean, they always, you know, always knew that he, I mean, he was a high pick. He was great as a young player. He's still good. And it just goes to show you how finicky this league is when you have expectations based on your contract. But you know, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, this guy has been, you know, that MVP you mentioned, and it's been a breath of fresh air to see him come in here with a little, you know, he's got a chip on his shoulder, to say the least, a lot to prove, and, you know, 1 year deal. And but man, he is good. He has that drive, but he also has the skill set, and he has that other thing, that moxie, that just drags other people along. So you know, with Jamie Benn and Pavelski and others, you know, got a good foothold on our locker room. What a welcome addition, that fire that he brought this year. So Dutchie's been a you know, really wonderful addition. He's really complimented this group a lot.
Marty, we know Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin are still there and key parts of that experience. But the team really belongs to the guys like Hintz and Robertson and even Wyatt Johnston now.
Yeah, you're right. Our future is so bright, Kipper, that, you know, it's easy to look past, you know, this team this year, this leadership. But we kind of have this great mix of, you know, experience with those two and Joe and even Suter on the back end to our young core that, you know, is locked up for the most part, you know, under contract. And right now, those three that you mentioned, that's our first line, Pavelski, you know, went down to play another line to get them going. And Wyatt Johnston, you know, a second year, you know, 20 years old playing in the NHL, you know, he's just, man, he's good. And he's just a hockey player, right? He'd be a first overall pick if you're to go out in the streets and play some shinny or get on the pond to play. We have an amazing first line forward. And Rupe Hintz is big. He does it all. He's, you know, up for Selkie nominations or conversations all the time. And then, you know, Robertson, who's just secretly goes about his business. You know, you watch him, doesn't get much fanfare. He's not, you know, dynamic looking, you know, look at him and say, yeah, I mean, he's one of the best players in the world, but puts up a lot of points and he makes everybody better around him. And he's just a really good player. And so, you know, those guys with Miro, I mean, that's his, you know, his 20s. And we also have a couple guys in the minor leagues. I mean, they're running away with the AHL scoring title, you know, this year. And it kind of cooled off a little bit. But, you know, our future does look super bright. Our goalie's real young. And so there's a lot to be thankful for in the Stars organization. But, you know, that being said, you know, we're kind of coming down the stretch here of you know, tight divisional race that should just make us stronger. So, you know, we stay healthy and we kind of tighten things up a little bit defensively. We should be in a really good position, you know, come playoff time. But until then, big one in Toronto. Our boys always look forward to that. A lot of guys on our team from Ontario. So it's a great matchup. And after a big performance last night from our goalie, we hope our forwards and defensemen take better care of business tonight.
Well, we're looking forward to it, man. Hey, thanks for doing this. I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't talked to you in a while, but you look great. You know, I don't know if it's a filtered lens or not, but it's working for you, Marty. Hey, don't be such a stranger and start bringing some wine and cheese around here.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna have to just surprise you one day, so I'll get with your producer and surprise you. I can't see you right now. It's probably the best, but I'll see what you look like.
I love that, Marty Turco. Everybody, thanks, pal.
Thanks, Marty.
Thanks, guys.
That guy is a riot.
Did you play with him?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
But, you know, every once in a while you find yourself at a charity event, like, you know, years past, and, mm-hmm. you know, you're like, I don't really know that guy. And then by 3 a.m., you're like, I love you, man.
There's a great meme of two guys trading shirts after the club, like 2 a.m. I can see you doing it with Turco.
And then I'm not kidding. 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Charcuterie board comes out. I'm like, is there a deli open downstairs? Like, where did this come from?
Great goalie, too.
Fantastic goalie.
Our list of goalies on this show, as great guests, is extensive. We have a long list of wonderful goaltender guests.
And for the most part, like, they don't shut up. They love to talk.
True. They do. Maybe it's because, like, in the crease, they've had to hold that all in. They're not talking on the bench to the guys, and over the years, it just builds up.
That could be it.
Yeah.
What are you expecting tonight out of Dallas? Because this is a sneaky
weird team.
It's a sneaky team.
You know, top line of Jason Robertson, Roope Hintz, and Wyatt Johnston, who you're like, huh? But all those guys are point-per-game players.
Well, Robertson's not going to hit the mark that he had last year, if I'm not mistaken. What, 45 goals, 46 goals?
Yeah.
He's only has 17, but he's still going to be sneaky.
80, 90 points. And then Marchment, former Toronto Maple Leaf, you know, he's on pace for 30 goals. Duchesne's on fire. Seguin's, you know, putting the puck in the net pretty decent. Jamie Benn, Sam Steele, Joe Pavelski is their third line. As we do our Leafs hour, I'll just note that's a bit of a different feel to...
What? And Pavelski is
rolling out.
And Pavelski's turning 40. So he's up there.
Yeah, I played the guy in college.
Ryan,
he's still doing this.
He's in that Ryan Suter, Mark Giordano.
Yeah.
But like the role he plays now on this team is still like super important.
One goal away from his 14th 20 goal season.
Well, he's
season.
Also not a schlub. Doesn't he have 30 or 40 points? Like he
still takes key face-offs.
Yeah.
He's still like blocking shots. He's still producing. Like this guy's got life.
Yeah.
I don't love the matchup for the Leafs tonight.
He's got 19 goals and 24 assists for 43 points in 50 games this year.
Just without, you talk about that third line.
Yeah.
Matching up against whatever the Leafs are going to be putting out their third line.
Robertson.
Gregor.
But it's like Ryan Suter, they need another defenseman. He needs to be like the seventh guy. I'm not sure I want Ryan Suter out there, you know, to start the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I'd like to note that Suter and Pavelski were teammates at Wisconsin back when I was in college. I did a workout today, and I can barely open my eyes. I don't know if you can tell. These guys are playing in the National Hockey League.
It's really annoying. They're quite good.
Yeah.
So I think it should be a stiff test for the boys in blue this evening. How's that sound?
Yeah, I think that's...
And a lot of guys from Ontario on this team.
You know you're getting a great effort.
Wyatt Johnston, I'm pretty sure he's a local guy. You know, it just feels like this. There's a bunch of guys that like to score against Leafs.
Mason Marchment's having a better year. Yeah. We do know, you know, he lost his dad very emotional last year, and he's now kind of looking like the guy that they signed for sure.
He's long and gangly, and he'll fight you.
Should have been a Leaf.
Should have been a Leaf.
No, I thought Malgin was like the MVP of the Swiss League, so I thought that was a pretty good trade.
I will say, of my time with Sheldon and Kyle, the most baffling thing is giving up on this guy when they did.
The amount of time they put in.
They really put in time to develop this player. You know what it was? Why they did it? They didn't think he could stay healthy. They didn't believe in his health.
Based on what?
He had some injuries.
Shoulders, what?
Yeah. And
knee?
I don't remember how extensive, but they just didn't think he'd be in lineups enough.
You know, the other one I was thinking about last night is he's firing a puck, Carter Verhaeghe.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this guy could shoot the puck too.
Yeah,
he wasn't quite like
a guy in the system.
Another team gave up on him before he went to the Panthers.
I'm just telling you another guy that I saw. Amadio, fire one in the net.
Amadio looked pretty good on the nights last night too. He was flying around. Anyways. I'm not saying I'm missing that bad. He'd be better on Leafs fourth
line.
We're in
the playoffs for him last
year. Anyways.
All right. See what you started.
Sorry to derail the Leaf hour.
All right. Give me a score tonight.
Leafs just surprise us again and just handle business.
4-1 Dallas Stars. 6-0-0. I'll take the Leafs on this one.
Good for us.
Just don't like the backup goalie tonight. I think the Leafs can take advantage.
There you go.
Okay. Plenty more still on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We go national next.